Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello.
Thank you for going to the Les Schwab Twires.
Twires?
I don't know. Hello. We appreciate you going to the Les Schwab.
Why can't you say tires?
Vive Clicquot. It's the same
thing.
Just
say tires.
Where did we pick up from? Hi, everyone. You're listening to the Sinner and the Saint podcast. I'm Luke Anderson.
I'm Will Darkins, and this is sponsored by Les Schwab Tires. Is that right?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep. Enjoy.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
In 2014, a failed stand-up comic entered a contest called The Hunt for the Host. He did not win. Later, he was joined by an underperforming Oregon State fullback with a community college degree. These men, neither having earned the position and possessing no real skills, continue on as radio personalities. If you have nothing better to do on a Saturday morning, and if you can find them, maybe you can hear The Sinner and the Saint. Starring Luke Anderson.
We ought to gentlemen's clubs. How do you like those? Oh, hey, everybody.
Mickey Mouse now.
It is now. Devolved into that.
And Will Darkins.
Ear or eye?
Where do you want it?
On 1080 The Fan.
Forgot about the cat.
Oh, man. We don't normally have an hour three, so we just pulled up one of our old hour opens. I forgot how fantastic that A-Team theme turned out.
Yeah.
Here come the cats.
We have a propensity for taking old 80s and 70s TV shows and repurposing them into opens.
Yeah, I know. Everybody knows that.
Everybody that listens knows that. Maybe somebody is tuning in for the very first time.
They're probably tuning in expecting not to hear us talk because this is a bonus hour since we have all-day Ducks coverage today. They get through us another hour. So if you're hearing us for the first time, you can go back and listen to hour one and hour two. All you have to do is go to 1080thefan.com, listen to the Les Schwab Tires podcast. Wait till the end, and then you can listen to all 3 hours back to back to back. And while you're there, jump over to the events page and check out the page for Jim Beam's Bourbon Heritage Month PDX, your chance to try some fantastic specialty cocktails, just $8 at some great participating restaurants. Bunk Bar down on Water Avenue, Chapel Hill, Church Bar, Laurelhurst Market, the Pope House, Bourbon Lounge, Reverend's Barbecue, Southland Whiskey Kitchen. There's a map that'll direct you to all of them, links through to all those restaurants. And you get to celebrate America's native spirit.
Holy
bourbon.
Little Smokies. Syracuse is on the run.
Yeah, they look bad. They've already been sacked 3 times. They've got a
Clemson looks bad.
Clemson looks bad.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry. Clemson's been sacked 3 times, and they've got a freshman quarterback in there because they let their senior walk with a red shirt and transfer last week because, you know, they care about him. And the kid looks really uncomfortable back there. I don't have his name in front of me right now, but they have 4 freshmen are their only quarterbacks on their depth chart, and the only one that's played at all is Trevor Lawrence.
Yes, and Trevor Lawrence is now out with a head injury. It was reported by ESPN that he is done for the day. The quarterback in there right now with the last name Bryce, who I easily could look up his
Chase?
Name on the internet.
Something. Does that sound right?
He was on the sideline. I was just seeing a moment ago, and Dabo Swinney was like trying to coach him up, and all he was doing was just looking down. And they were like, oh, that's a bad sign.
Yeah. It's going to be difficult. I'm going to see if I can find the kid's name. Yeah, Chase Bryce. So he's in there right now, and it's not going well. And remember, Clemson lost to Syracuse last year at Syracuse. This is a home game. This was supposed to be a little revenge, and not looking to be going that way right now.
No, it's not. But I'll tell you what, there might be some revenge for Cal.
What?
Wait, did Oregon beat Cal last year?
Yeah.
Oh, so there might be some revenge for Cal today. They're getting the Oregon Ducks in the Strawberry Canyon. Gonna play them?
What's the game plan? If you're, I'm gonna give you Mario Cristobal's hat. And you're going to go throw it on. What's the game plan? How do you attack offensively and defensively? How are you attacking this Cal team?
If I am on offense, I don't change much of what I did against Stanford because obviously it worked. The offense was humming. It was just these horrible mistakes and these horrible little rules that obviously neither of us understood. The whole pylon thing, fumbling at the goal line, fumbling at the end of the game. When
the pylon thing
aside,
I mean, if that's the rule, that's the rule. And it seems like a dumb rule, but you got to snap it to your guy. I mean, it couldn't have gone any worse than it did. Every mistake was magnified tenfold because when you have a bad snap that turns into a fumble that turns into a, 90-yard touchdown scamper by a big man and just out in front of everybody. It's just, if they made a mistake, it was catastrophic.
I think most everything would have been forgotten if it weren't for the CJ Verdell fumble.
Sure,
really, absolutely. It would have. And I think it would have been, the head storyline would have been Herbert shines on the national stage.
Yeah.
Gets to the very front of the Heisman race. I really would have thought that. And the mistakes that they had on the goal line, the whole pylon thing.
Yep, would have gone away.
Oh, my gosh. We wouldn't even be barely talking about it. It would have been an afternote like, oh, well, there were those two things there. But, you know, God, they're going to be so fine against Cal. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I guess if I'm Oregon, I'm not really going to change a lot other than just the execution. You just got to keep focused. And this is a young team with a young coach in Mario Cristobal, a young head coach who – he's just kind of getting his lay of the land for the Pac-12, and it'll be interesting to see how he responds. It's going to be really, really interesting. He's, you know, he's heading up a kind of franchise revival. Oregon in the late 2000s to early 2010s, they were the team. They were that USC that you just kind of expected.
They played for
two national titles, and now you get to this point where you have a Heisman quarterback. And it seems like you have a good supporting cast, a weaker conference that you could possibly exploit and sneak in. Let's see how they respond.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Cal has to offer, though, too. I mean, I think Cal was a surprise team last year. Justin Wilcox came over and took his first head coaching job and started it off with winning a couple nice non-conference games. And they didn't end up having, you know, a great season, but there's a very different feel going into Cal these days than it was. Don't worry about defense. We're just going to try to score as many points as we can. It's bear raid time. And this is a defensive-led team. I mentioned it earlier. They've got three guys on their coaching staff that have been defensive coordinators. Their head coach, their defensive coordinator, and their linebackers coach have all game planned for it. So what I'm kind of interested to see, and I'm not saying that it'll necessarily happen, but I wonder what happens if Oregon goes out with their game plan and it doesn't work. You talked about how Mario Cristobal is, you know, looked a little bit naive in the way that he approached those final 2 minutes instead of just taking a knee and punting it, you know, late in the game.
I wouldn't say naive. I would say just
immature.
Yeah. Immature and inexperienced because you know, us as fans, we can sit back and we can do that, right? We can armchair coach a game all we want and say what you should do and what you shouldn't do. But at the end of the day, when you're coached like that, and you're in pressure situations where you're the head coach of a college football team, you're dealing with a lot more than just the game in front of you when you're down on the sidelines. You're dealing with communicating with a bunch of different coaches who are asking you about things, who are getting in your face. They're screaming, not in anger, just in immediacy because they need answers from
everything's
you.
Everything's urgent.
Yeah, everything's urgent, and you're the guy who's going to make the final call. And so with all of that surrounding Mario Cristobal, his youth as a head coach showed when he wasn't cognizant enough to look into the future of that game and go, if I could run this much time off the clock and do this, and conceivably we could get a good punt off, it would make it very, very, very difficult for them to get back into the game.
Yeah. And then, but you also have a young running back that's trying to stretch out and get that extra yard instead of protecting the ball, reaches out. What I'm curious about is you look at Cal, who has returned all four starters in the secondary. They've improved their pass rush. Like you said, they're stopping teams 39% of the time on third downs.
They're three and outs. They're 39% of the time they're getting teams three and out.
So you have all of that stacking up. If Cal comes out and can hold a front, I mean, Oregon didn't have trouble scoring last week against Stanford early. So now what are the adjustments that are going to make? That's kind of what I'm watching for in this game, not just this game, but against Washington. When you get put up against the ropes and the path that you've chosen to go gets blocked, then where do you go? Not just Mario Cristobal, but Justin Herbert, CJ Verdell. How does he bounce back for this wide receiver core that until last week was plagued with drops? Who are they going to be the guys that step up when it gets really tough? And last week, when there was pressure put on them at the end, they kind of crumbled to it.
I want to see what's going to happen with Breland, the tight end Breland. I want to see how he's going to fit into this offense because he's such a big body. He is so just physically there as a tight end. He's the stereotypical tight end that you would want in an offense like this. And when you have a vicious pass rush, it's going to be vital for Herbert to be able to either check down or make some really quick reads from the box and be able to hit Breland in stride. You know, that's what you would hope the offense can do. And so I'm going to look for him, man. He looks like a All-American tight end. He looks it. Now he's got to prove it.
Well, and if you're a, you know, NFL prospect and you're a top quarterback, that's what you do is you throw your guys into position where they can catch it in stride. And that's the difference between a guy hitting somebody that's open and hitting them in a position, not just throwing them open, but hitting them in stride so that they can, easily make a gain after the catch. Real quickly, what have you thought of Oregon's defense so far? I mean, I know it's only one real test against Stanford, but their defense wasn't necessarily the reason that they lost that game.
Boy, I'll tell you what. I wish Jordan Scott would choose a different number.
Why is that?
I just, a super fat guy wearing 34, it doesn't sit well with me for some reason.
Just bugs you too much?
It just bugs me. It's weird.
That's your big takeaway from the Oregon defense. Analysis. All right. Well, there you go. That's the Oregon defense breakdown from Will Darkins.
Why is no one talking about this?
We are. We're talking about it right now. What number would you like to see him in? Something in the 60s or the 90s?
Nah, he needs a good,
70s? You want to see him in the 70s?
He needs a good 90 50s? Or 70. Yeah.
Okay.
I think if you put Jordan Scott in like a 76, he'd look correct.
Okay.
Just 34, it just looks like he's a fullback that hasn't.
What if you went 54? How's that feel for you?
Yeah, 54 is tight. That's
okay.
Tight number.
Anything else you've noticed on the defensive side of the ball for Oregon?
More than anything else, Troy Dye. I haven't seen Troy Dye make enough plays, to be honest. I know he's kind of your grit guy. He's the guy who's going to do the cleanup in the box. He's going to be the guy who's going to make those kind of scraggler tackles. But at the same time, he's got to be a playmaker like he was in his first year. Dude, I remember Troy Dye in his first year.
Everywhere that guy, as a freshman.
He was coming off of the edge. He was making a lot of sacks. I would like to see a little bit more playmaking ability out of him. But other than that, I know we joke about the whole Jordan Scott thing, but that interior is strong. They're not going to have to worry about defending the run too much from Cal, but it's going to be an interesting matchup. There's just not enough on paper we know about Cal, and there's now a lot we know about Oregon. Now we kind of have to go out and see the game played. And Clemson just threw another pick.
I'm watching the expressions across. This is a home game for Clemson. The expressions across the crowd shots that they just did, if they're not already GIFs and memes, somebody in the internet is letting me down. They just look shell-shocked. That place has got to be deathly quiet.
They look as though a guerrilla warfare group went to each of their homes and got everyone's puppy and just did a mass euthanasia of puppies.
They looked like everybody in the country this week watching the Brett Kavanaugh hearing, just mouth agape, going, what is going on? Why? On either side, just going, what is going on here?
Boy, and that Bryce, that backup quarterback, that young
Chase
freshman.
Chase Bryce, he's going to be out quickly.
No, he just looks shell-shocked, and I don't blame him because who could have, I almost said it. I was going to say, who could have predicted this?
But everybody could have predicted
it. I think a lot of people were kind of saying like, well, now what if this guy gets hurt?
Yeah, what do you do then? All right. Well, we promised some Blazers talk, so we'll try to get to that coming up here in the bonus hour 3. What?
Oh, God.
I'm just pretending.
Pander to that.
You know I'm just pretending, right?
I don't know if you
What are we going to say about the Blazers? They're demanding that we overhype Collins. I think it's facetious.
I think that there's a really good chance we could get Jimmy Butler.
So, let's get into our Jimmy Butler speculation coming up, but we do need to get to more college football and more NFL. So we'll try to squeeze in that Blazers talk for you because we've been promising the whole time. So if we have room, we'll get to that next-ish. You're listening to Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan.
Oh, what's going on here? I know things are not all right.
So I know you're the world's biggest Rams fan over there, but we've got comments from a guy named Jerry Jones.
Came here with my
where he seems to think that his Cowboys offense is pretty much the same.
Oh yeah, as the Rams. Fine. It's fine. Now they've won every game, right?
No. They have not. They're 1-2.
Oh. Well, wait, that's weird.
Yeah, I like our offense when it stacks up against the Rams, to be specific, since we're comparing to the Rams. But I like our offense. I think it's fair to say we've both got good running backs, the quarterbacks. I remember Goff when he first came in. You know, they kind of moved along at a little slower pace. Dak got there, got to come in, and yeah, he just goes on and on about he's been proud of Dak. He thinks both quarterbacks are in the same position. And so when you're executing on the offense, I think our personnel looks about the same as the Rams.
Okay, so here's your here's the decision you got to make, right? If you're Jerry Jones and you're the Cowboys.
Yeah. Pull the shoot.
Well.
Oh. Okay.
Now, who do you think will be the worst team in the league coming out of this season? It's kind of hard to say now.
It is. I mean, we thought it was going to be the Bills. I think it'll be the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
Very well could be.
Now,
you know what? You know, I'm just going to throw it out. The Niners could be really bad, too, without a quarterback.
Now, do you think it's conceivable if you have the Niners?
Cardinals,
Bills. Let's throw the Ravens in there.
They Raiders.
Pretty bad. Raiders.
Raiders are bad.
Still Giant. Haven't seen a lot from the Browns.
No.
All of these teams.
Raiders Browns tilt this week.
Sure.
Gruden versus Baker.
All of these teams are really, really set at quarterback. Would you agree with that?
Well, yeah, you got Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, you got Grops, you got what was the other one that we were saying was terrible?
Baker Mayfield.
Derek Carr. Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's set at quarterback.
You look at the bottom of the league, yeah.
Now, if you're the Cowboys, do you take the risk of taking whatever draft pick you get? Because at this point, I don't see them winning too many more games.
Well, they get to play the Giants twice, and they've already beaten them once, so they're going to play one more time.
Do you take the risk of letting somebody like Justin Herbert fall this far in the draft and hoping the Giants won't pick him?
You're saying stop trying to win football games?
I'm saying let your team play and see what happens, or have enough confidence in Dak Prescott, put together some pieces as a trade offer for Le'Veon Bell.
So then you would have a backfield of Zeke and Le'Veon?
Yeah.
No, I don't see that.
You don't see that? You don't see the idea of forming an offense around having Le'Veon Bell line up in the slot, motion in, take some carries. You don't see the idea that Zeke could line up in the slot and run some routes because he's pretty good at that too.
Listen, I don't mind the idea. And if you and I were running the teams, I just don't see a team investing that much in the running back position in today's NFL.
So you think that Dak Prescott's going to be somebody who will be able to lead that team into the future? Because it's obviously been proved at this point. He's a quarterback that cannot make anything. He's a quarterback that needs something.
What does Jason Garrett have on Jerry Jones?
Oh, nothing. He's just a yes man. Okay. And that's what Jerry appreciates. Yeah. I think that's what it comes down to. And that was really exemplified with Jimmy Johnson, right? Jimmy Johnson was the guy who said, who stood up to Jerry Jones in the 90s and said, you're running this team wrong. You got to let me make my own personnel decisions. And then Jerry Jones fired him in the middle of a dynasty.
Yeah.
And now you have a guy like Jason Garrett who you just kind of look at him and you go, yeah, I think he's probably saying yes and shaking his head.
He tried to bring in Bill Parcells and he's like, man, this guy keeps talking back to me.
Yeah, this guy uses strong, curt language.
Yeah, well, I think you let it ride, and if the team ends up terrible, you're probably going to get a chance at a quarterback, and if it's not Justin Herbert, you can look at, you know, any number of guys coming out. There's always going to be three or four guys.
Yeah, but who do you got after Justin
Herbert?
Well,
but the other team that I think about, I brought up the Giants, and that's another team that needs to draft a quarterback 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see.
Well, and they're going to fall into that place. All I'm saying is the teams you mentioned that are at the bottom of the barrel, right?
Yeah.
They're all set at quarterback.
Yeah,
you're right. If they hit that number one spot, they're just going to kind of, I mean, the Cardinals, you're going to go after a receiver.
Yeah, you know, you're going to move out. If you have the number one spot, you're going to move out of it. Yeah, I think if you're not looking for quarterback, there's somebody that's going to be willing to give you the farm, and we've seen it in years past where teams do that. Here's the other quarterback situation in the NFL that's very perplexing of what you should do, and that's the Fitzmagic. Mm-hmm. That kind of fell a little bit off, but he's still the first NFL quarterback to start a season with 300-400 yard games. And they still haven't announced a starter. Dirk Koetter hasn't said whether it's Jameis Winston or Ryan Fitzpatrick, but they do have a week five bye. So you would think they would stick with Ryan Fitzpatrick this week going up against the Bears, you would think, right? If you're going to make a change, do it after the bye week. But you've got to face Khalil Mack this week, who's been eating quarterbacks for breakfast. And you've got Jameis Winston sitting there that... Is he your franchise quarterback moving forward?
Well, double-edged sword here, right? First of all, before we begin, that Monday night game was awesome.
Yeah, right?
It's really fun.
Yep.
But, I mean, here's your double-edged sword. You have a guy in Ryan Fitzpatrick who has all the momentum behind him. Now, he
35 years old.
Played a terrible first half of Monday Night Football, played an incredible second
half. Was it three interceptions on three passes?
Three interceptions on three passes, and then he brought him all the way back from the mess he created. Now, you have that guy who's riding all the momentum, who is known to make some pretty bad decisions, and you have him going up against arguably pretty much the best defensive player in football right now.
Seems to be the leading MVP candidate from the defensive side of the ball.
Do you take that, or do you take a guy who has missed 4 to 5 weeks of action?
Well,
he's not game ready.
No, no, of course
and
not.
I'm just going to wager that Jameis Winston hasn't been working very hard in those weeks.
But here's yeah, that seems true. But this is not a this week decision, though. I guess that's my point. Is Ryan Fitzpatrick is probably going to play for the exact reason that you said, and I think that's a much easier decision. And you do have a week five bye. And if you decide that you're going to pull the plug on Ryan Fitzpatrick, you would do it out of the bye week. You can get two full weeks of practice with the ones, and you're set to go. My question is the future moving forward. I mean, are you really going to stick with Jameis Winston as your franchise quarterback, or is it time for them to start looking at the draft and going, hey, if we trade him now, well, he still has value. We can improve this team, play with Ryan Fitzpatrick, then try to get a quarterback for a couple years.
Well, but the problem is, and it's kind of what I've been highlighting, is that you have a saturated market right now at quarterback. I mean, there's maybe one or two teams that actually need one. I would say the Giants and the Dolphins. Even though, but the
Tannehill's been playing well. I mean, if they can beat the Patriots this week, they're 4-0.
Yeah, there's really nobody. And then you go with, you know, maybe you could say the Jags, but the Jags seem pretty resolute in sticking with Blake Bortles. They had a chance to take a run at Kirk Cousins. They didn't. And, you know,
Niners are a team in desperate need of a quarterback, you would think, but they've got a franchise quarterback, so they wouldn't go after a young guy.
No, and I think if you're the Niners, you're going to be giving up way too much at that point try to get Jameis Winston, because really the Bucks, they do decide to trade him, you're going to want a lot in return. Yep. Again, the issue is you're hitting the market at a really crappy time, and you know, Jameis Winston, as much as everybody likes to tell me statistically he improved last year, dude, that guy was 1-9 as a starter.
Yeah.
That's really, really bad. Like, if you're a quarterback for a team, really wins and losses should be pretty indicative of your skill. You are the most important position on the field.
Yeah, there's nobody that affects wins and losses more than a quarterback, and he likes to eat his W's. So,
There's something very sexually gross about what he did last year with that W finger.
Yeah, yeah, he's a disgusting person.
He's a gross sex monster.
Yeah, that sounds right. Clemson did got a field goal and is... threatening right now, so keeping an eye on that game.
16-10, Syracuse still up.
Certainly the most interesting game, especially with them missing their starting quarterback. What other NFL games have you intrigued this week? I mentioned the Dolphins-Patriots. I assume you're not dumb enough to write off the Patriots when they start 1-2, and you're not smart enough not to believe in the Dolphins at 3-0.
Hold on my judgment until I see Josh Gordon play, really. Now, is this Edelman's back this week, right?
I believe he's got a 4-game suspension, so he'll be back next week.
Yep. You know, there could be a chance. As much as the Dolphins have played some really crappy teams, they look pretty solid for the most part. And this is a New England team that not only personnel-wise looked crappy, they just scheme-wise looked lost. It was very strange. I think they targeted Chris Hogan.
Yeah, he's the only wide receiver they targeted, and I think he had 5 catches.
And other than that, they were just going after Gronk, and most defenses have figured out by now, okay, I'll double-team him, and I'll let Tom Brady try to beat me otherwise with Chris Hogan, because that's all they got.
Yeah, but this is the early season lulls that we see again and again with the Patriots, and the Dolphins, like you said, are still led by Ryan Tannehill, and I don't know how much faith you have in him. So let's put out this scenario that the Dolphins win that game.
Sure.
Would you take them to win that
division,
or are you still taking the Patriots?
I will still take the Patriots. Now, if we're just looking at it this week, I think it's a toss-up.
Yep.
If we're looking at that division, you gotta think, well, I mean, I'm already throwing the Bills out. The Jets have already exposed themselves as still being the Jets. The Dolphins just, they do this, right? They'll win a couple games. They'll go on a little bit of a streak, but at a certain point, they reveal themselves. It wasn't it wasn't until what, Ronnie Brown, until they started kind of making those one or two runs.
Yeah, and they never really, they've had much success in the last 15 years. Real quick, the Monday night game, Chiefs at Broncos. Any chance Mahomes keeps up what he's been doing against good defense in Denver?
Yeah, I think so, because there's just too many great athletes, man. When you get to one pass in particular in that 49er game was the one to Tyreek Hill he made in the second quarter. It was downfield. It wasn't the touchdown strike. It was the one where Hill was in double or triple coverage, and Mahomes just looks. And Mahomes does probably the best thing you could do in that situation, where he goes, that's probably one of the three best athletes in the league. I'll give him a shot.
Yeah.
I'm just going to throw it up and give him a shot. And then sure enough, that dude leaps over all the defenders and catches it.
Well, but
goes and gets the ball.
But also the way that he throws that ball, too. I mean, it's just 70 yards on a line. It's an absolute laser. And you see the defensive backs really didn't know how to play that ball. It wasn't three guys leaping up for the same ball. It was the wide receiver, and like you said, the best athlete, tracking the ball the best, leaping and catching at the high point, and three guys standing there watching him.
Other game also interested in, Baker week two.
And the Raiders, can they get a win?
Yeah. I think we've all quit caring about the Raiders, even though it's just hilarious. The John Gruden goes, it's really hard to find a good pass rush.
I don't know where we're going to go next.
What do you think? To the moon.
All right, to the moon after the news.
Hey, all right. This 3-hour thing. Man, I'm hungry.
I just did a Kind Bar.
Oh, didn't even offer to share.
Ew.
Big jerk.
No. Oh. No, I don't share food.
Don't share food? We don't have to share it like Lady and the Tramp and start at one end to eat to the middle.
Start tongue at each other.
Wait, what now?
Yeah. That was a sports talk with a little bit of pasta.
Yikes. What on earth is wrong with you? I don't share food. You break it in half, hand a piece over to a guy.
Yeah, I'll break it with the... I won't finish that soon.
I'm in here carrying the show, and you just, you're doing
carrying
nothing to help me.
Carrying my foot.
What's wrong with your foot? Dummy.
It's up your butt.
We've been talking a lot about the Clemson Syracuse game for good reason. This could obviously change the landscape of the top 25 a great deal. A few other games around college football that can have the same effect. You've got number 4, Ohio State, at number 9, Penn State. That's a 7:30 p.m. game on, I guess that's East Coast time probably, right? Yeah, so 4:30 game on ABC. What are you expecting from this? You think this is a runaway with Ohio State?
Well, I don't know. So, yeah, I think after the first 2 weeks of the season, everybody kind of just made the declaration that Ohio State and Alabama have the best players on the field at all times.
Well, this is the first time for both of those teams, Alabama and Ohio State, that they have a quarterback that can throw the football. I mean,
well,
you've had
JT Barrett.
Dwayne Haskins looks better than JT Barrett did the entire time that he was there. Tua Tagovailoa looks better than Jalen Hurts or AJ McCarron or any quarterback that they've had in the last decade for Alabama. So you take two teams that have the best rosters in college football, you give them a competent quarterback and all the weapons that you're afforded at those two programs, it feels a lot like that.
Yeah, I would agree. I think this is kind of for Ohio State. Can you stand the home atmosphere at Penn State? I can tell you, I played at Penn State. It's rough. It really is rough. It's a very difficult place to play, and it's difficult because of the fact that it stays consistently loud. It's just very loud all the time. Now, the difference between that and Autzen is that Autzen, there's kind of a up and down kind of ebb and flow to the energy there, that it will get extremely loud at some points, but then other points it'll get very, very quiet. And that's also comparative to USC as well. When you play at the Coliseum, there's an ebb and flow to it. Penn State, man, it was just on all the time. And those students are crazy. It's an atmosphere where, Beaver Stadium is kind of the center of the town, the center of that community, and everybody goes to the games. And it
holds 100,000 people.
It's going to be difficult.
Yeah.
It's going to be difficult. So we're going to see if the talent can outweigh whatever nerves or yips they could have.
But this is also one of the Big Ten things, is you go and you play in the Big House, and people have to come in and play at the Horseshoe. All of these teams. Did he get it? Eric Dungy gets another touchdown for Syracuse. That's going to put him up. That'll be what, 20, by my count, 21, 22 points now, and going for an extra point for 23. Does that sound right?
Yes.
That math check out. Another big game today, number 7 Stanford at number 8 Notre Dame. This is a game where, if you're Notre Dame, you're in must-win situation because you don't have a conference, so you don't have a conference championship game, and if you want to be a college football playoff team, you have to win every game.
Well, if you're Notre Dame and you're Brian Kelly, really every year becomes a must-win situation because ever since 2012, man, you have not proven yourself to be a top five coach. You know, after they went to the national title, everybody just kind of said, oh, Notre Dame's back. It's just going to be a revolving door of Notre Dame, Bama, Notre Dame, Bama. Every single time in the national title game, Brian Kelly, for the most part, hasn't been that impressive afterwards.
Yep.
It's been,
well, he wasn't impressive in that game.
No,
he was impressive in getting them to the national title game. They were housed.
And let's remember that Brian Kelly's kind of low-key scumbag. You remember you remember what he did to Cincinnati, right?
He's the red ass yelling, screaming. I don't remember particularly the Cincinnati thing, but you see clips of him on the Notre Dame sideline. He's insane.
Well, at Cincinnati, that's when he came to prominence. He got Cincinnati to the Sugar Bowl. You know, Cincinnati's a nothing school, mm-hmm. and they got to that point. He got them to the Sugar Bowl, and then there were rumors that he was going to take the Notre Dame job, and then he went in front of his team and said, no way, I'm sticking with you guys.
Everybody does time. That.
He leaves. They find out at a bowl function because he didn't show up for it.
Everybody does that.
Everybody does
That's
that.
That's college football.
Dude, the players
Willie
found
Taggart
out.
Taggart took an Oregon jet to visit Florida State. Nick Saban promised Dolphins fans he wasn't leaving. This happens all the time. Yeah, he's
that was pretty scummy.
Yeah, but he also is that red-faced, screaming, drunk-looking fella, too, as you'll often see on an Irish sideline.
Yeah, I was going to say, the other side of that is, how could he not be your head coach? Yeah.
Now listen, he's a fighting Irish. He's a little leprechaun. That's what you get.
Little angry leprechaun.
That's what you get. Stanford, I feel like, could survive a loss here and still continue on. I don't know if you've already said you don't believe him to be a college football playoff team, but what do you see from Stanford moving forward this game and kind of going on? What is their ceiling this year?
Well, they finally have a passing game, which is encouraging. That's the only thing that you should be able to look at and go, wow, well, maybe they now have potential. What we know from Stanford for quite a while in terms of their offense is that, hey, we're going to run the ball, and if you can stop it, fair enough. If you can't, we will just continue to do that in a monotone type of way playing. And we will beat you at the end by 3 or 7 points.
When are we going to see the breakout game from Bryce Love? That's the bizarre thing, right?
I mean, thought he had a really good game against Oregon.
He had a good game, but I mean, you expect him
to... There were some pivotal moments, some breakaway runs he had that you were like, oh, dude.
Well, but what he did against Oregon was he made 2-yard runs into 5-yard runs. What I'm saying is taking a 5-yard run and turning it into a 65-yard run. That's, I guess, the Bryce Love we haven't seen. The Heisman Bryce Love we haven't seen. We've seen a very good running back. There's no question about that.
Well, you know, I think this happens a lot in college football, right? Is that you can, I think in college football more than in the pros, you can scheme around a running back. I mean, this happened with Leonard Fournette. You remember Fournette's sophomore season?
Yep.
Dude was a complete effing beast. The fact
just
that he was
railroading people, just moving through him like a truck.
And, you know, it sucked because this team really, really sucked. And then his junior season, everybody figured it out and goes, oh, they're just going to run the ball every play. Yep. Terrible junior season. And you kind of have to expect this is the same kind of letdown that happens with Bryce Love. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to be ineffective when he gets to the league, because in the NFL, everybody's really good. And so you can't really scheme around one guy. You just kind of have to go, how do I beat this process and how do I contain it? I think it's just a case of everybody expects the run. It's really hard for him to get out of the box. You even said it. He was turning 2-yard runs into 5-yard runs. That's a victory to me.
Yeah, but if the passing game continues to play well for Stanford, then you have to account for that, move somebody out of the box, and now you've got a chance for a kid to make it. And if you, in a game like today, if Bryce Love can have a couple of those big runs, score 3 or 4 touchdowns, that can be one of those Heisman moments, because he hasn't played poorly enough to be completely out of the race. I think he's just a little bit forgotten about because he was so electric last year.
He'll get a trip to NY. He will. He'll get a trip there. I don't think he'll win it. I think at this point, it's two as to lose.
All right. Well, let's wrap up this fine program with our crystal balls. We'll take a look, and we'll give you the winners and losers of all the games that are going on in college football today and a couple NFL picks for tomorrow, and we'll do that next. Center and Saint, 1080 the Fan. All right, Clemson keeping it close. Cut it within a field goal. It is a 23-20 lead for Syracuse. 11 minutes left. This has been a great football game. For anybody that missed earlier, Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback they chose over Kelly Bryant, left in the first half after taking a shot to the head on a play where he really should have just got out of bounds.
He jimmied it.
He did jimmy it a little bit, except for he went head first, not knee first. So he's out for this one. They're playing with backup Chase Bryce right now and making mistakes that are letting Syracuse get ahead. So,
well, you know, it's partly Clemson's fault for recruiting and encouraging a guy with two first names.
Yeah, that'll teach you right there. It's a big mistake.
Chase Bryce?
Yeah.
What are you, as a parent, what the hell are you thinking?
Well, and it's also a last name, first name, right? Because he could very easily be Bryce Chase.
Just, come on, just make it easier on the kid.
Yeah, John.
Yeah, John Bryce. That, in fact, right? That sounds really great.
Yeah, yeah, Daryl Bryce.
Chase Bryce.
Chase Bryce.
And it doesn't help that both of those names are equally as douchey.
It's a fair point. All right. There's one top 10 matchup outside of the Pac-12 that I care about. That's the Ohio State Penn State. Will, who you taking in that mofo?
Give me Ohio State by 10.
By 10. That's 10. Big.
I'm
That's
taking
big.
The 10.
Now the spread here is only 3.5, so you're taking them with the points.
I take them with the points, and look, you know me. You are the mayor of Clark County. You are a respectable human being. Would you say that I make good picks, picks that are reliable?
Here's what you do is you make people money.
Yeah.
That's what's important. Listen to these picks. You're going to make some money.
Text into the Better You Today text line 55305. Big money.
Big money. Big money. Big money if you want it. All right. I'm going to take Ohio State, too. I just think they have too many weapons. As much as I hate Urban Meyer and everything that's skeezy going on there, they do have a quarterback that can throw the football, and Penn State does not look the same as they did last
this
year.
This is a very spiteful game, isn't it? I think nationally a lot of people want to see him.
I want to see if it's possible for both teams to lose, that's what I would go root for, but I think Ohio State
still
will
can't,
win.
I can't believe that you hold resentment over Penn State.
I feel like
they've done everything to try to resolve the best they can of this situation.
Yeah, the best they can, but here's the thing. It's not like I was a Penn State fan and then I went away from them. It's just I in most scenarios, I'm not going to root for them. If you had Baylor, Penn State, Ohio State, I'm trying to think of another team that has a scandal that touches those. But you put those at three of the four teams in the college football playoff, I'll just pass. I'm saying no thanks. I don't need to watch it. I don't care who wins. They're kind of skeezy programs. Let's go back into the Pac-12, and I'm going with Notre Dame in this game. I did it in the breakdown. If you want to hear my breakdown, you can go and listen to the podcast, Les Schwab Tires podcast. Will, who are you taking, Stanford?
Give me Stanford. Give me Stanford, man. Give me Stanford. I think that they're just going to go in there with a stronger game plan, and I think that, you know, for some reason, which still kind of makes sense. As the stakes get higher, it seems like some coaches might stop coaching good. And that seems to be the case with Brian Kelly for the past couple of years, is that as the stakes get higher, he just kind of lets the pressure get to him, and Notre Dame always starts to fade during the season. And I think this is the start that you see where they begin to fade. Now, if they can get past this game, you look at the rest of their schedule, and everything looks kind of winnable. Well, especially with SC looking like they do, you just kind of go, well, that shouldn't be too hard at the end of the year.
Well, one of the things where you see Notre Dame fade is usually they're playing a very tough schedule, right? They've got Florida State on their schedule. They've already passed Michigan. They have USC on their schedule every year. They've already gotten past them. They didn't look very formidable. So Stanford is your big game. This is the one game that you need to win. So we'll see what happens, but we're on the opposite sides there. Big matchup in
big money
in Seattle. BYU possible upset alert. They've already beaten Wisconsin. You giving any credit to the Fighting Mormons?
No, I'm not. And the only reason that they're really on the map is that they beat Wisconsin, which really isn't that big of a feat in itself. Wisconsin almost every single year has a way too easy schedule and sneak their way into the Big Ten title game. Usually it's because that they'll eke out that one win against Penn State. So to me, I don't even think this is a contest at all. BYU's strength is their defense, but that's also Washington's strength. And I think that you take a team, Chris Peterson-led offense, it'll be able to – let me say this. It won't be a pretty game, but Washington at the end of the day will win.
I would like to see Washington play a pretty game, though. I mean, this senior class as sophomores was in a national title game.
Yeah.
Or in the college football playoff.
You want to see Gaskin get loose.
You want to see them just really run on all cylinders, and I think this is a game where that has the potential to do that. When people start calling it an upset potential, they're 17.5-point favorites. I think Washington houses them and kind of runs away with it. BYU's only loss is to Cal.
Ooh.
How good are the Cal Bears, the number 24 Bears against the number 19 Ducks?
The Bears.
The Bears. The Golden Bears.
Give me the Ducks. Let's go, Ducks.
Beaver hat, beaver sweatshirt.
Let's go, Ducks.
Just for our listeners.
You know what? We can't talk about that.
Beavers alumni ring.
Talk about that after the break. We can't say anything.
What's that? We can't tell people that you played football for the Oregon State Beavers. You're taking the Ducks.
Definitely going to take the Ducks. I know this is a huge response game for Oregon. You know, you got to come back after, and I know this might seem a little brazen, but kind of a national embarrassment. It kind of was embarrassing, dude. You had the game. You were about to be up 34-7.
They were the better team in that game.
Yes, and they blew it. Yeah. It exploded in your face. And so,
jeez, how many other innuendos are you going to use there?
Well, it was a really long, hard game. Give me the Ducks, man. I mean, Justin Herbert should be able to bounce back pretty well. The one thing I will put out there as a little bit of bait for anybody that might be rooting against Oregon is Cal actually plays them pretty tough.
Yeah.
And there was a very long period of time during the Chip Kelly era where Cal's 3-4 defense somehow kind of got that spread's goat. It just kind of did. It was able to contain it. Now, they didn't have better players than Oregon, and so obviously Oregon would always prevail, but you got to kind of hope that maybe there's a little bit of pride in that for the Cal players, that they'll play to this sparse home audience. I don't know. We'll see. At the end of the day, I just think Oregon has the better players, and they're going to be able to have talent outmatch whatever momentum Cal's riding.
This was a tough week for Oregon, right? I mean, like you said, if it's an embarrassment, it certainly was a game that they had well in hand and lost and let slip through their fingers. So you can't imagine what their practice was like. This is Justin Herbert, a presumed number one overall pick
Heisman
in the NFL
candidate.
Draft. This is C.J. Verdell, a young running back that has established himself as the leader in the backfield for Oregon. This is Mario Cristobal coaching in his first year. You need a big response from all of these guys, and I think that there's enough tenacity in all of them, from what I've seen from them, that they're going to bounce back big, and I think that they're going to run over Cal on their way to their bye week to set up a huge game against Washington. So,
jeez.
What?
Boy, that's a pretty resounding yes.
Yeah. Is that, what did you want me to do?
Hey, man.
What?
It's your pick.
Didn't you?
Your money.
What? Anyways, yeah. So, I'll take Oregon real quickly. I know that we're not allowed to do this technically, but Oregon State is playing against the Fighting Herm Edwards down in Arizona. Here's what I'm going to give you. It's a 21.5-point spread. You taking the Beavs to cover or to win?
I'm going to take them to cover. Oregon State, after the Arizona game, I finally kind of came to the realization that our players aren't as good as any of the other in the Pac-12. And no matter what happens, even having Khalil Tate hobble around on one leg, we still can't beat them. Yeah, dude, I'm gonna take the field against Oregon State for the rest of the season. Again, when Jonathan Smith got on board on this team, I go, give it a 5-year window. Just leave him alone for 5 years. Seriously, even if 3 of those years they only win 2 games, just leave him alone and let work out, because what you're gonna get is, after the first 2 years, it's Jonathan Smith's recruiting class. After the first 4 years, it's Jonathan Smith's recruiting class proved to the other recruiting class, hey, you should come here.
Well, it's his recruiting class plus his development.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Just give him the window, see what happens. If it sucks by the end of year 4, now he's on the hot seat.
Put him on the Hugh Jackson plan and see what happens. They wear the same colors. It makes sense. all right. Well, I will leave it with that analysis. Stay right here for Ducks All Day. Ducks Roundtable starts at 1 o'clock. We got game day leading into that, and then all day, Ducks, you don't have to go anywhere. You'll get everything that you need from our analysis to the pre-games to the broadcast, everything you need right here. We'll be back next week. You're out next week.
Going to bed.
All right, so no Will. We'll figure out who's subbing in.
Joe.
Oh, Joe Fisher. Hey, perfect. Joe Fisher and I next week.
Got everything handled.
Oh, no, it's Sook. Sook and I are out at Vancouver Ford. It's going to be fantastic. Anyways, for now, you just enjoy your day of college football. Have a great one. Catch the end of this Clemson game if you can. For now, bye-bye.
You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene.
I mean, if you're going to go truck, get the Raptor. It's a good investment, right?
Yeah, whatever.
It's a good-looking truck.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.